everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, if there is one thing that I know for sure, it's that it is never too late to find love. So if you're single and over 40, you'll definitely want to listen to today's program. My guest today is Tammy Shackley. She is a relationship expert and president of one of the country's top LGBTQ certified matchmaking companies called H4M Matchmaking. Since founding the national offline matchmaking company in Austin, Texas in 2012, Tammy and her team have successfully paired thousands of LGBTQ clients across the country. She is here today, listeners, to share some of her expert advice and best tips for dating after 40. And she says the time is right now to explore inviting a compatible partner to share life's journey with you. So for more information about Tammy or H4M Matchmaking, please go to h4m.com. So welcome to the program, Tammy. Great, great, great to have you with us today.
Oh, I'm excited to share some inspiration for those needing it. So thank you for having me.
Oh, it is a pleasure. And I know, because we've met in person, that you are inspirational and you have great advice and great strategies. But before we get to the topic, Tammy, I know, as I said, because we've met in person, you had a career as a broadcast journalist. So tell us briefly what motivated you to go from a reporter to becoming a matchmaker.
Right. Well, my background, I've been blessed to have three careers in news, politics, and philanthropy. But what I did not expect was to be divorced without children. And I moved to a new city. I had a new career. I started my life over. But I was turning 40 and being single and trying to figure it all out. In my case, I chose not to do online dating. I was just a very private person running a children's charity. I just didn't feel that online dating was for me. So I hired a matchmaker, and that's how I met my husband.
Mm-hmm. Right. I love that story. Thank you.
It worked for me, but I was tenacious, Tammy. He was not my first match, and I was not his first match. So it was a series of quality introductions before we met each other. And then years later, after we were married, I was trying to refer a gay friend who was also very private. He was a single dad, and I was trying to refer him to a matchmaker, and I couldn't find one. So I started research and focus group interviews, a feasibility study, and I ended up designing a gay and lesbian matchmaking company for a community I'm not even a part of. I'm a straight ally, but I'm bringing a service to them and hopefully giving them the quality introductions and experience that I had.
I love that story. Thank you for sharing it with us. So what kinds of clients then do you see in Match? LGBTQ singles from across the nation, right?
Right. And I thought I was designing a company for maybe 40-something, but my youngest clients are 23, my oldest 77. So It's never too late to find your person, whatever that looks like for you.
I love that message. It's never too late and you're never too old to find love, because love and a happy, healthy relationship is so important, so vital to our health and well-being. Right, Tammy?
Oh, absolutely. Especially after this pandemic experience and for those who have sheltered in place alone, unless you're a real introvert, you are seeking human connection and companionship and just company and having like-minded adult conversations. And guess what? That's really all dating is. So I think there's a lot of good timing and opportunity to connect with new people.
And what do you see then as some of the challenges that singles over 40 face, either in general or now during the pandemic, when looking for that someone special or a compatible partner?
Right. I think they overthink it. I really do.
Don't we all about everything, right, Tammy?
I think now has been a time to reboot, to restart, to look at new hobbies, new interests. Maybe you've developed some new passions during this time being sheltered in place. And when you come out of this and the shelter in place is lifted, now let's look at a new routine, whether it's a new place to work out, a new mom and pop coffee shop, maybe small businesses, whether a new dry cleaners or service providers. All of those experiences are introducing you to new people and new faces. So dating doesn't just have to be getting on an app or online. It can be a new routine in your new and refreshed life, and it can lead to meeting someone that is a potential match for you.
I like that. So develop a routine as you get out of shelter in place so that you are open to those opportunities to meet someone. I like that advice. Now, do you think it's different dating for singles over 40 than singles under 40? Are there different challenges? Yes.
Absolutely, because I was there. And believe it or not, my husband is 15 years older than me. And I wasn't anticipating that, but we were a very compatible match. So what is challenging mostly from what I hear is being updated on your look, your image, your vibrancy, your personal brand. And again, you don't have to overthink it. But the number one thing I hear people looking for is a person who is kind, who is fit, who is active, and who is interesting and interested. And that's pretty simple. So no one's ever asked me for perfection or slender or a supermodel. They're really looking for someone who's kind and active to enjoy a vibrant life together. So 40 is not a milestone where it's all about slowing down. It really is about reinventing. Maybe you used to do CrossFit, but maybe it's now a Zumba class. Maybe you used to enjoy, you know, the night scene, and maybe now you enjoy volunteering at the botanical gardens. I mean, so it's a new shift to what do you want your 40s to look like? What is vibrant for you?
And I like that. So you said those five qualities that I want to repeat that you hear from others: kind, fit, active, interesting, and interested.
Yes.
And so what that last part, what are people talking about when they say they want somebody who's interested? I can hypothesize or guess.
Yeah.
But share with listeners what that might mean.
You bet. When I designed my company, I wanted folks to find joy in a traditional introduction, courting, and dating. So just meeting someone, that's the first step. That's the starting gate. So to be on a first date, to be interesting, to share your new hobbies, passions, interests, what you enjoy doing in your spare time, but to be interested, what do they do? What do they enjoy? I mean, when I met my husband, he climbed mountains, he surfed, and he sailed. I did not do any of those three. Now I do two of those three. So you'll never find me on a mountain. But I was excited.
Can we ask why? Can we ask why? Is it heights?
Total fear of cold and heights. So no desire whatsoever. But I'll be at the bottom of the mountain and I'll host the welcome back, you know, lunch or celebratory dinner. But I'm not going to climb a mountain. So you're not looking at, when dating over 40, you're not looking for mirroring necessarily. You're looking for someone who has also had an active life, also some life experiences. And that's what's important. I really coach my clients at 40 and above to be on a first date, be an eligible single. So sure, you might be a mom, a dad, a caretaker, a grandmother. There might be all kinds of things that define you and that that build who you are today. But the first thing you are on a date is an eligible single. So what makes you eligible, and what can you bring to the table, so to speak, whether it's what makes you interesting and then wanting to learn what makes them interesting.
And that's so interesting, because what I do in my coaching as well, Tammy, is teach people how to ask questions so that you don't just want to sell yourself, as you said, that you are interesting. You have all these hobbies and interests and ideas and work experiences, but also ask questions to the other person. Because I think when singles 40 or under, over 40, under 40, get on these first dates, we think it's going to be that we have to like encourage the other person to like us, want us, sell us. But it's also those questions that you can ask somebody else, like, what does it mean to go climb a mountain? Right. What do you like about climbing mountains, so that you can understand how is this person different than you? And maybe that's okay, as you said.
Absolutely. Our second date with my husband, he told surfing stories. I never had on my bucket list to learn to surf. I could barely swim. I didn't have on my bucket list to visit Costa Rica. That was our first surf trip together. So he broadened the scope of what I could experience in my life. And that was exciting. That gave me something to look forward to. I wanted to know more. I came home and started researching. How does someone who can barely swim learn how to surf? And I realized you're leashed to a flotation device. So it's all going to be okay.
I like that. That's so good. And you know, it's interesting that you say that, Tammy, because on my first date with my husband, as a therapist, right, I asked a lot of questions. And in dating in general, I asked a lot of questions, but it really took my husband to say, whoa, now let me ask you some questions. And I was floored, but that was so attractive when he said, I want to ask you some questions now. You've been asking me. I want to now ask you. And I thought, wow, he is interested in me, which you said. I like it. So your first strategy, Tammy, was wonderful. Update or reinvent yourself as a single in terms of your look, your image, your vibrancy, and who you want to be. Other kinds of tips and strategies for dating after 40.
I really encourage folks to broaden your scope. And I think coming out of shelter in place, how interesting it would be to really date someone outside of the age range you've always set for yourself. Just like my husband being 15 years older, I knew I wanted to date older, but not 15 years. I thought maybe 12 years older. And it was my matchmaker that said, trust me, he is way more youthful than you are. And so to date outside of the age restrictions you've set for yourself, either older or younger, why not? Dating is simply discovery. Dating is a series of introductions. So why not broaden your scope on age? Why not broaden your scope on race or ethnicity? Why not broaden your scope on status? I pulled up in a Jeep Liberty. He pulled up in a Porsche. I wasn't seeking that, but he respected me, he later told me, of how frugal I was. And why not broaden your scope on geography? If the person ideal for you lived around the block, you probably already would have met them. Do you always visit your sibling in Minneapolis? Well, maybe your person is there. So where are the places that you will visit, friends, family, or when you travel for work again? Does your business that you work for have offices in other cities? Maybe you're supposed to transfer to that office and meet someone there. So to really look outside of those strict parameters that you've set for yourself can lead to opportunity.
I like that. Lead to opportunity by broadening your scope of compatibility. Now, I know, Tammy, listeners are sitting there or standing there going, oh, no, I have to broaden my geography. And as you said, yes, I can think about where I might visit or where my work might take me. But does that mean then that I have to be open to a long distance relationship? Or what if I don't want to move from where I'm currently living? What do you tell clients then?
To really assess yourself, set your boundaries, determine what your clear expectations are. Are you seeking a long-term relationship? Are you seeking a real partner with which you would live in a year, or you would co-parent with in a year or two? What are you really looking for in the big picture? And that helps define your scope. So if you never see yourself moving from the hometown where you still live, that's okay. Then focus where you live. But keep in mind, there are other singles who are open to moving to Chicago, who are open to moving to California, who are open to moving to the East or West Coast. So while you're defining your boundaries or your expectations, keep in mind other people may have broader scope. So there's still the potential.
There is still the potential, and you just never know, right? You don't know how your work situation is going to change, how your family or extended family situation is going to change. You just never know. And I think, you know, given the pandemic, there are lots of opportunities and uncertainties. So to be open, but still set those clear expectations and boundaries, as you said, is so important. It's almost, Tammy, like you're suggesting that we as individuals sit down and do some work with ourselves, right? Either reinvent Yes. ourselves, our boundaries, our expectations, broadening our scope of compatibility. It has a lot to do with ourselves then.
Absolutely, especially if you've quarantined alone. Are you seeking someone, or do you see yourself seeing someone daily? Do you hope to see someone weekly, or maybe spending your weekends together? Do you hope to date a variety of people to explore what's out there? Or are you seeking a full-time exclusive relationship within the next year? So give yourself a year. It doesn't happen overnight. You have to be patient. You have to be tenacious, like I was. So decide for yourself what you're seeking, what your boundaries or expectations could be, and then give yourself a reasonable timeline. If in 1 year you need to shift your expectations, do it then. If maybe 6 months you want to reassess what you've been looking for and with whom you've been meeting, do it then. But don't spend 5 years on, seeking what is not out there. Keep reinventing, keep reassessing, and keep redefining what it looks like for you.
Mm-hmm. And now what about a person's attitude as you date? What are some of the pieces of advice that you give your clients in terms of being fully present, or their attitude on first dates and beyond?
Yes, if their first date's in person, and even if we've been doing some virtual dates and introductions, to be present, we do not allow cell phones on the table or on ring or notifications ever. And we ask that you spend no more than 2 hours, no more than two drinks. Again, clear expectations. We're not here to become everybody's best friend or overnight partner after a five-hour date. It's a simple introduction, and you should walk away wanting to know more about them, and they should walk away wanting to know more about you. So having these parameters, I think, makes dating easier. And I think it's helpful and doable. It's bite-sized pieces to start getting out there again.
Right. And I always tell my clients, Tammy, that it's almost like you want to think of yourself as a book, and on each day to share only one chapter of the book. And so that 2 hours is great, because some clients, right, they want to share everything on that first date. And it becomes a 5 hour, 8 hour first date. And then, like you said, you don't leave the person, them wanting to know more about you and wanting to see you again. So one chapter at a time.
No one wants to read your entire memoir on a first date. You're exactly right. And I always have told clients, for 8 years now, those who are the best clients are the ones with an open mind, an open heart. Mm-hmm. He or she or they may look a little different than what you were expecting. They may act a little different than what you were expecting. They may be more dynamic than you ever knew you would meet before. Or maybe they're a little quieter than you expected, but it allows you more time to talk. The other key factor that people are always telling me they're looking for is a person who's optimistic, who's joyful, who has a positive disposition, meaning nobody has ever asked me to meet a pessimist, right? So if you can't be in your right headspace and mindset, maybe it's not time for you to date. Maybe there's some more work for you to do because you want to be able to bring your best self and your most optimistic self. Open mind, open heart on a first date more than likely will lead to a second date.
Right. And listeners, I totally confirm what Tammy just said. In my long-term study on singles, being hopeful, being optimistic was the number one predictor and factor that affected attraction on first dates. So if you are not, like Tammy said, optimistic and hopeful and positive, maybe it's not the best time for you. So Tammy, what is your opinion then on video dating? Can it work? Can people really build a connection during this pandemic using video dating?
Yes, and we've proven it to be true. We have some long-distance virtual relationships already started as a result. So here's what we encourage you to do as a single. Look at your space. Get away from your Zoom desk for work, if you're going to Zoom or Skype or video chat, and look at where in your home would you have a first date over for a nice glass of wine? What would you be wearing? What candle would you light? Would there be fresh flowers? What stemware would you have your glass of wine in? Would you be sitting in front of your favorite books or artwork? And be in that space to have your date. Again, short and sweet, maybe no more than an hour, no more than two glasses of wine ever. And have that space where you would sit in your favorite chair or on the sofa in front of your travel pieces that you love to tell stories about when you did international travel. That's great virtual dating because it's interactive and it's not sitting at a desk.
Great strategies, great tips. Thank you so much. Now, we only have a few minutes left. So if there's one message that you'd like listeners to take away from this program, Tammy, what might that be?
I think it's meeting interesting, different people. Especially since we've been home and we're so tired of the screen or we're so tired of our shows or Netflix, to meet real humans and hear their human interest story. Where have they been? Where have they traveled? What have they experienced? How did their family contribute to or support them? Are they still in contact? Do they still have their loved ones close? Who doesn't want to meet someone interesting and hear their human interest story? We can read about it online all day, but why not meet that human in person? And that's all dating is.
And that's all dating is. I love that. Broaden your scope of compatibility and be interested in different people. Thank you so much for joining us, Tammy. I love talking to you, and I know listeners will really benefit from your advice.
I hope they are inspired to get out there and start dating again.
Absolutely. And again, listeners, if you want more information about Tammy Shackley or her H4M matchmaking company, please go to h4m.com. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.